Blog Talk Radio. morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Recently, Center Stage was shown a YouTube video titled Those Who Were Left Behind, produced in 2009 by Antoinette Harrell. The contents of that video, I must admit, brought tears to my eyes. It was about the living conditions in Glendora, Mississippi. This is a place very close to where I spent many of my childhood summers. So we thought tonight we would visit Glendora, Mississippi in 2013 and see if the conditions had changed. Now, 4 years later, we found that Glendora, Mississippi is surviving without basic city services like a hospital, ambulance service, police department, school, library, recreation center, city park, nursing homes, daycare centers, or public transportation. These are city services normally afforded to every U.S. city and town. Mayor Johnny Thomas says that the city of Glendora has a population of approximately 285 people, of which 99% are low income or impoverished, and 100% are African Americans. The median household income is around $7,500 a year. To my amazement, I found Glendora, Mississippi is a tourist destination because it is the home of Emmett Till, Emmett Till Memorial Museum. He was the teen that was murdered in the 1950s controversial hate crime. Ironically, the city of Glendora was chosen as the best location for that museum because it was the hometown of the murderers of Emmett Till. So tonight, we will try to understand why Glendora, Mississippi doesn't resemble every other thriving U.S. city. Tonight's topic, the New America. So let's get started. But before we do, we want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome my guests. I see some of my panel has not arrived. I'm not sure why, but we're going to start with who is present right now. I see Antoinette Harrell is on the line and Nikki Pierce. Good evening. How are you?
All right.
Are you there, Antoinette?
Yes, I am.
Hi. And so, you know, Antoinette, to be honest with you, you're the catalyst for tonight's show because I came across your YouTube videos. Someone has some noise in their background.
Oh, yes, I can hear. If there's any noise, Nikki, is that just mute her? Would you mute her?
Okay, who's got noise in the background?
That was coming from Nikki, so go ahead and mute her. I know she can hear you. So, Nikki, you need to get into a quiet place so we can make sure we have a clear show here. Thank you for inviting me to your show, Carrie. Yes, we want to talk about the conditions of poverty in Glendora. Is the mayor joining us tonight? Is he on yet?
I'm confused because I don't see him on the line, and I'm not certain what happened. I just got a call coming in, and I think that was the mayor, and I'm not sure what happened. We may have to take a break in just a little bit and find out what happened, but the mayor is supposed to be joining us along with some other citizens from Glendora, so I'm not sure what happened. Let me open 513 and see if this is one of my guests. 513, good evening.
Good evening, my sister. How are you?
This is who?
This is Nana Nasi in Cincinnati.
Okay, so you're with
Carrie.
Antoinette. Okay, so Antoinette, I'm sorry.
We're really talking over a radio, so I wish that, Nikki, if that is you, would you please turn that radio down or get into
okay,
a place?
I muted it.
Good.
Okay. Nikki, you're going to have to go to a location that doesn't have a lot of people in it because your background noise gives us a feedback. So you might want to try to just go to a place where it's quiet and not a lot of noise in the background. But, okay, so, Antoinette, let's go back to you. I originally found out about Glendora, Mississippi through a YouTube series that Antoinette had placed on YouTube. And as I said in my intro, I spent many summers just probably 40 or 50 miles from here, most of my childhood summers, in fact. And so when I found out about Glendora and saw the conditions, I actually cried when I saw part two of your documentary. Can you tell us what you saw when you hit the ground in Glendora?
Yes. Once again, Karen, thank you for inviting me and Brother Nicaea, Chief Nicaea, to be on your show tonight. What I witnessed firsthand is what I would consider to be third world America. Like you, I cried when I saw the conditions there. I could not believe that there was a township that is incorporated in the conditions that Glendora was in. I first learned of Glendora through a man named Al White, who said, you need to go and see Glendora. And so when I got there, I saw abandoned buildings. I saw terrible streets. I didn't see any supermarket, grocery stores that someone could shop and really go home with fresh food. I saw homes in bad condition. I just saw a lot of things that really concerned me and made me know that I had to do what I could to help those that was left behind in a form of pinage and sharecroppers, because they are, most of the people there was descendants of former sharecroppers and people held in pinage or involuntary servitude.
So when you saw, Antoinette, people that looked like you in a situation like that, what was your first response? I mean, what was your instinct?
Well, I was shocked. Let me just say this to you. I was shocked. You have to initially get over the shock to see that people was living in those type of conditions, you know, a place without a library. And I love to read. I love libraries. I spent a great portion of my time in someone's library, if not my own. And I couldn't even imagine children not having a community center, not having resources, not having public transportation, a doctor's office. The doctor would visit once a month. And so I just knew I had to do something to help. That's all I knew to do. And the best way I know how to do it was to create that YouTube documentary that you saw, to get people like Chief Nicaea in to help make a difference the best way we could.
So you now, and we've had a couple of conversations about Glendora. You have actually gone down there, hit the ground, and done some things. Tell us some of the things that you've already done for Glendora.
Well, you know, I know people say those little things that we bring, that's just addressing the immediate needs of a person, but my belief is, and this is what I say, if a person is hungry right now, they can care less about your five-year projected plan. If they're cold right now, they're just trying to get a pair of socks or a warm coat, a hat, or gloves. That's the problem. It may be trivial things to people that have access to these type of things, but it's a big thing for someone who may not have that coat, may not have that hat, may be waiting for that dry pack of goods to come to feed them for that day. And so if we was giving that person that immediate relief, in the meantime, while we try to attract people that can work on a five-year or three-year projected plan, that was the whole point. So Chief Nicaea and the Nation of Islam with Brother Tadal Muhammad, we have all organized buses and truckloads of goods to take there. We have people from Boston to come to help to try to bring some of those things that we take for granted, that pair of socks, those clothes, shoes, food, to the people that's in need.
Now, when you get there, do they seem appreciative for what you're bringing?
Very much so. Very much so. What happens with Glendora? Glendora may be a town that may be poor in wealth, but the love, it's just a special bond. People are so beautiful and so loving and so caring and so appreciative of any little small thing that you do. You can't help but develop these type of relationships with them, because they call me today. I mean, I still get phone calls that say, I just called to see how you're doing, Mama. A lot of them call me Mama. I just call. I don't want anything. I just call to see how you're doing.
Wow. And so I see some of my other guests have arrived. Let me open up some phone lines. I don't recognize some of the numbers. Good evening, 662-310. Good evening.
Yes, Mayor Thomas, Glendora, Mississippi.
Hi, Mayor Thomas. How are you?
Good evening, Mayor.
Oh, fine. Running late.
I see. So, Mayor, we were just talking about your city and trying to, and as I was telling Antoinette, when I saw the video on YouTube about Glendora, Mississippi, it actually brought tears to my eyes to see the conditions that were in Glendora. And in my intro, I talked about the fact that, you know, you didn't have a hospital there or schools or library or public transportation, some of the things we really take for granted living in larger cities. And so, you know, I just wondered, do you feel like Antoinette titled her documentary, do you feel like Glendora has been left behind?
Say that again, as Antoinette does what title?
Her YouTube video was titled "Those Who Were Left Behind." So, do you feel like sometime the government has left Glendora behind?
Well, I don't know if it's so much as the government, or rather, it has been a part of a system in the Mississippi Delta that left us behind. I don't know if it was a government or the way of life or culture or what you call it, but I don't know if it was the government.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. We have an African American president in office now, going into his fifth year have you all reached out to our president and told him what's going on in Glendora and asked for help?
Well, we've always reached out to try and achieve whatever was available to any other community, and of course we've reached out to our congressman. First, we would be going through, and that's Congressman Thompson. We would be channeling our effort through.
Give us the first name of that congressman. Congressman who?
Thompson.
First name?
Benny Thompson.
Benny Thompson. Okay, and what has Benny Thompson done?
Well, I don't know what all the efforts are, but I do know that with the mentality of Washington now.
Mm-hmm.
not too much he could do other than advocate. So I think he's advocated very well. But making things happen under the present condition or makeup of the Congress is pretty difficult.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what you just said. You said you think Benny Thompson has done a good job for Glendora?
Well, Benny Thompson has done a good job of advocating for places like Glendora.
Okay.
Or our ability to match what it takes or what have you to reap those benefits become political because you're small and your votes and so forth doesn't count that much on a national scale. I don't know if that's Benny Thompson or not, but
okay.
Yeah.
So you think Washington is looking at votes, and so there probably isn't a lot of votes coming out of your city, so therefore they're not focusing on helping your city? Is that a roundabout way of what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that the need and the effort should be really driven from here out of my community up toward whatever else. We should be given an opportunity to move ourselves forward. Here in Tallahatchie County back in 1998, we put together an instrument through the state of Mississippi, a local and private government bill, that would allow us to reap tremendous economic development as well as community development, but the system here would not allow it to take place because basically we were talking about a 62% African-American community, and we were talking about a community that would have instantly an influx of economic boom, such as dollars for renting space to house inmates, and those dollars would have went back into community development. And, of course, the system say no to that, and that is because such an influx of economic power would really upset the plantations and all other kind of things. So they wouldn't allow it to happen. The economics is in communities like Glendora has to start from bottom up, and we should be given that opportunity to do so.
Okay. Well, that said, Mayor, your city sounds like, you know, I think you told me you had 60% young people in your town. And so, you know, that to me says that you need jobs for, you know, if you have 60% of the population there. And I think the median income you said was $7,500, and every body except for 1% was either low income or impoverished. What is Glendora doing, or what are you doing as the mayor to bring jobs to Glendora?
Well, we're trying to first of all, when you come to a community like Glendora, basically 100% African American right now. And there are some other communities developing as such right around us. All of the civic engagement or involvement leads or come in with the African American community. Lack of participation, lack of caring about where you are and longevity of your community and those kind of things leave away. So I'm working at trying to get young folks on the level of looking at civic engagement, how they civically involve themselves to make a difference for themselves in the future. That's my biggest effort. And I think from that, economic development comes. Actually, we're trying to get young folks to, we have about, our organization around here owns about 30 acres of land, and we're trying to create about 30 small businesses, and that including families, to grow vegetables on those grounds that can feed the community as well as create economic development in these communities.
Okay, so there's no community gardens right now?
Big what?
There's no community gardens right now?
There's an effort to create community gardens. This is our second year of working on it, trying to make it work, which is very hard because the lack of participation outside or economically from the outside have hindered our effort to make that project work.
You know, Mayor, I invited several of your young people from your town to come and be a part of the show. And one showed up, and I think that was Nikki Pierce, and her background had so much noise in it. We had to mute the call, and we weren't being disrespectful. We just couldn't hear ourselves for the background noise in her background. But that said, the others have not shown up tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the type of person, whatever I told you on the phone earlier this week, I meant to stand by it. But you know what, Mayor? I'm so afraid that Glendora, and I want to choose my words very carefully. What we saw in the, let's just start here. What we saw in the presidential campaign this last time was people like Santorum, people like Romney, who were absolutely 100% saying that they were going to leave people who they considered people that were just on the system. They were prepared to cut them off, leave them behind. And I'm sure you saw that in this last election, right? Or the last election campaign, right?
Oh, of course, all types of rhetoric comes out in those things,
I think they were being honest. When they're bold enough to tell you to your face that's what they're going to do, I believe they were going to do it. And I think what I see and what I saw in Antoinette's documentary is that was 4 years ago, and fast forward 4 years later, you know, I think I talked to one of the young people today, and they said that the conditions were the same. And so I think it's kind of like if a closed mouth doesn't get fed, and if they're not coming out saying that there's something wrong and the system needs to be fixed, or they're intimidated to come forward. I don't know, they did Antoinette's video, and they're very verbal, but tonight nobody's talking. You know, it's kind of hard to fight for that. I mean, really, I told you what I was willing to do, but I'm not even willing to go there now. If nobody's going to come on my show and tell what's going on in Glendora and how the conditions are, I'm not fighting for that. I mean, I, you know, Antoinette's got some drives going, and I don't mind y'all talking about them, but I'm not going to go there. If they don't, if they will not come on my show and tell me what's going on in Glendora, I will not fight for Glendora. And that might sound bad on my part, but I don't know what else to do. If you can't come on and tell me what's going on, then how do I go to somebody else and say this is what their plight is? I mean, I know I've talked to you, Mayor, about what's going on, but I wanted to hear from the citizens of Glendora as well. I'm being very honest. As honest as I know to be. And I talked to four of the young people from Glendora. I think it was four. Four this evening. Three of the four. One, two, three. And none of them have appeared on the show tonight. So Center Stage will tonight talk about the conditions of Glendora, but Center Stage will not fight for Glendora. And I like you, Mayor, and I think you're a nice guy. But I think if the people of Glendora, obviously everything's good down there. They're not willing to come on and talk about it. So obviously things are better than I thought they were. And yeah. I'm not flippant about it. I just talked to people a couple of hours ago about being guests on this show, and they said they would appear, and they're not on my line tonight.
Yeah.
May I please say something, Carrie?
Sure.
And I want to just say this. That happens a lot in this type of work, Kim. Sometimes it's a prideful thing. Sometimes it's it could be many different things. And I'm so happy that, you know, I had to look over many different things just to be able to help. And so I'm going to ask you, please reconsider.
You know what, Antoinette, I'm like this. And people who follow this show know that I will fight for whatever I believe in. God knows I will. That is my reputation, and you can go back and listen to the archives of the shows that I've done. I fall for all kind of causes. But at the same time, I feel like if you can't come tell me what you need, what do I look like going to fight for you and telling somebody else what you need? I mean, and you've seen it, so maybe it's your fight and maybe it's not my fight. So, you know, and me and the mayor talked about off air what I wanted to do for Glendora, what kind of efforts. But I'm not going, if they can't come on here and talk about what's going on in Glendora, they obviously got it all under control. And Mayor, I believe you got an uphill battle. I really do. I believe you have an uphill battle in Glendora. And I think Antoinette is reaching out to the community, and she is, you know, bringing in shipments of items, you know, for their personal, what is it that you said you were bringing in that you all needed assistance with? We can put that out there tonight, Antoinette.
Well, Chief Nananasi is on the line, so I'd rather for him, because I can't answer what he has on that truck that is ready to head down this way. So, Chief, you still there?
I'm still here. Good evening, Mayor. Oh.
Good evening.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm wonderful, and you?
Hey, I'm blessed. Thank you. So
okay,
where do we go from here, my sister?
You were telling us, or Antoinette was asking you to tell us what you're taking to the people of Glendora.
There will be clothing. There will be shoes. There will be school supplies. There will be book bags. There will be walkers and crutches and canes for those who can't get around too well. There will be just a large number of books so Sister Antoinette can prepare those two libraries that she's talking about. I'm very much happy about that, of situating a library for the youngsters to help further them how to read and what to read, and just give them an insight of what this world is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that would be on that truck.
And so, Mary, they're bringing you. I'm sorry.
Those books are going. We went to Webb, Mississippi, and they found a location for the books for a library. So, and since they are ready to put a library in the town, some of the students Youth Ambassadors in Tangier Whole Parish want to help get a library in Webb, because that's another town that we have given things to. And so putting a library in Webb, Mississippi is what their agenda is. So I know there'll be enough books left over for Glendora, but some of those books will be given out to Webb, Mississippi as well.
So, Mary, you have, what is it, you all said a 26-foot truck?
At least that, between 24 and 26. It depends on the availability.
Okay. So Mary, they're saying a truck with supplies in the form of a truck 24 to 26 feet long is headed towards your town to help your people.
Well, wonderful. Antoinette has made this journey several times, and she pretty much knows what you don't know about this community and how we're trying to change the spirit of the community, and that's what we're working on. Those individuals. Hello?
Go ahead. No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I just say we're trying to change the spirit of the community, and I understand you're part of it. If they don't say what it is, then certainly you don't know what it is that they want or need in the community. And they had supposedly talked with you about that and were still of the opinion that jobs were just as scarce as it was when they first made the YouTube and had gotten no better. And those kind of, and their effort to get their GED is something that they work on. Certainly the computer drive or so, if you were to continue or fail to continue, would be a great part in helping to set up.
See, because everybody that, I mean, that listens to my show won't see Antoinette's YouTube video. So I talk with them earlier. I confirmed that I told you I needed to speak with them personally. I confirmed that they were going to be here. I just saw one on the line, and I think they have since hung up. But the thing is, Mayor, you know, there's so many people hurting. I mean, this country, you can just kind of throw your hand in any direction and you can find somebody in need. So it's not hard to go and find somebody who's hurting. But the thing is, you know, this show is a platform in which, you know, they could have put their information out there. I was told that things are as bad today, if not worse, than they were in 2009. But obviously, they ain't ready or willing to say it tonight. And that's okay. And that's completely okay. We'll talk about Glendora, and then we'll go back to life as usual tomorrow. So it's okay. Let's talk about what's missing in Glendora. What I said in the intro, no hospital, you know, no police department, no school, no library. Those are the basics. So what would make someone want to relocate or even live in Glendora with all the basic city services that are missing?
Well, yes. Well, what would make someone want to live in Glendora? We are a 1900 community. We've been a community for 113 years. We are a community that lack what we would call now a growing era, Detroit era. And, of course, but we are a rich community in that we have And why I'm here is on behalf of the young folks, the youth out there in our community. As I said, it's approximately 65% youthfulness, and that's what I'm fighting for, and that's what I'm hoping for change for. And, of course, being a rural community, really, pretty much still a plantation. Create a community for the plantation, and where the plantation, actually, we've coined the phrase that Glendora is the Las Vegas of the plantations. All of them at some point rallied to Glendora. And, of course, my thing is, as I said, we have right now
okay. Oh, and that was one of the callers as well. I just the noise, so much noise in their background. We're not going to be able to open their line right now. Mayor, what would you call Glendora, the Las Vegas of the plantation?
Well, it is where all sorrows, and it was Las Vegas for the plantations on Friday and Saturday, on Saturdays really, through Sunday. Only time that we could get rid of our sorrows and pains from working all the week and having nothing to show for it at the end of the day, we came to Glendora. Everybody came to Glendora, and parted away.
Wow. Let's go back to, I think this is Von Eric Hill, and let's see if we can open his phone line and he can mute his background. Good evening, Von Eric Hill. How are you? I'm going to try that. Good evening, Von Eric Hill. How are you?
I'm all right, ma'am.
I talked with you this... Hello? I talked with you this evening about the conditions in Glendora. And why don't you describe for us or my audience what it's like to live in Glendora, Mississippi?
Well, man, this is not Von Eric Hill here. This is DeMarco White.
Okay, this is, okay, DeMarco White. Okay.
Wallace.
DeMarco Wallace. You were the young man in the video that was doing most of the talking, and in part two, you became emotional, and you and Antoinette embraced. Are you that person?
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay.
Hi, DeMarco.
Hi, man.
Tell us, DeMarco, what it's like to live in your town now. What is Glendora like?
Well, you know, it's a very poor town, though. We really ain't that got much, you know. We really ain't that got much. We we really ain't got much. I ain't never really changed, you know. We trying it's so far to get a job. About 30, 40 miles apart to get a job, man.
So y'all need jobs to either come to where you all are, or you're going to need transportation to get to them.
Yes, ma'am. And really, and no, sir, we're trying to get a GED, really. You really got
trying to get what?
GED. Need your GED to get a job, really, man.
So y'all need GED services brought to Glendora?
Yeah, that too.
Okay. So, Mayor, has anybody done anything to bring a GED program to your town?
Yeah. Basically, we are a farm community, and the programs that we do have around here that can wound up being a GED program, you must have worked on the farm, and there's no farm work, so therefore those programs don't work, but you don't hardly find a program that an individual that's just to get his D can enter and get it without transportation, get to the places, for instance, the junior colleges and those places. Transportation is a big problem as well.
So they can't bring a GED program to your town with as many people as it seems like could benefit from it?
Yes, GED program, but as I said, the GED program that we're eligible to get in Glenboro be farm-related.
You don't know, fella.
Okay, okay. So there's, I didn't know there was degrees programs. I thought, no, I didn't know that. Okay. So you all are not eligible for the type that you all would qualify for.
But that he would qualify. He hasn't worked on the farm.
I have not worked on the farm. That's what I tell you. All of them didn't work on the farm, man.
So you get. So how long would you have to work on the farm to qualify for this particular GED program?
About $800 worth.
About how much?
We're trying to solve that problem, and we would have that problem solved if we can get equipment so that we could create those small farms, vegetable farms that we're talking about, that could probably net him $12,000 or $12,000 a year. While he trained at plan we're working on. Fourth year. And
okay. DeMarco, who else is with you?
I'm with Milton Hill, man.
You what? You with who?
I'm with Milton Hill, too, man. And we speak.
Okay. Well, let us speak with Melanie for a while, for a minute.
She's tuning in, man.
Okay. So, Melanie, we saw that you were the female that was in that documentary, and you talked a lot about things that were needed, like daycare centers. And I forgot some of the other things that you mentioned in there. How important is a daycare center in Glendora?
It would be very important if we had one, because it would be opportunity where we can go through things if we had a daycare center, because, like, majority of every young child around here got kids, and they're never, we can't go out because the kids, we have no one to watch them. And that's some of the causes, too.
Okay. And you know,
If a daycare center, it would be better because we could have somewhere to take our child and we can do things.
Okay. Mayor, why hasn't the city got a daycare center?
Well, we previously had a daycare center, and that was when that was when young folks could utilize the farm efforts and get what they call a voucher from the federal government that's been sliced all the way back in rural areas such as this, that this Melody would have been eligible for a voucher through the federal government or state government, which would pay for her child about $65 or $75 a week. While she could go and look for training, try and get her GED or to attend college or what have you.
Well, let me ask you that. With the voucher, are you saying the voucher would pay for child care with whoever she could get to take care of her child, or would the voucher have to be paid to an actual daycare center?
It ultimately turned into that you could pay it to anybody that, other than, I think, some degree of family member. To watch the child for you. Then the program went out with lack of training. If a person failed to do the training and those kind of things, they would lose that voucher.
Let me ask you this, because it seems like there's a whole bunch of levels of things that are going on in your town. If listening tonight, you know, here's this show, and their hearts are tugged, and they want to help. What is the best way someone can help Glendora right now?
The best way someone can help Glendora right now is to assist us with creation of jobs. We have applied for, through the state of Mississippi, small municipality.
Yeah, we need jobs, though.
Okay. So are you all asking for someone to bring, like, a manufacturing, you know, company there so that you all can manufacture things? Or what type of company? Let's just say it like this. With the citizens, hardship that you have in your town, what type job would they basically be best employable for?
What we need is someone to infuse into our effort is the ability to allow us as a cooperative in food growing, as a cooperative and made in the Mississippi Delta, arts and crafts and quilts.
Yeah, all the food crop, you know.
Okay, yeah. So are you saying someone who knew how to farm vegetables could come down there and show the people of Glendora how to farm vegetables? Is that what you're saying?
No, we know how to farm vegetables. We need the capacity to do it. We need investors to come to us, and rather than wait on the farm program that misses everybody that it should hit, those individuals that come to us will give us the capacity to make the echinacea, or to grow the echinacea or valerian or any other type of vegetable that or medicinal purposes and what have you, which is they're huge cash crops. We can do it here in the Delta, but we need
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to area code 404-343. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hi, Ms. Hines. This is Alberta. How you doing?
Hi, Alberta. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I just called in to say that, this is the type of news that I don't get to hear about on CNN, HLN, because obviously they're not going to talk about it. It's a shame that I'm just now hearing what is going on in certain parts of the country. I have to go to alternative websites and news blogs and blog talk radio to find out what's really going on in Black America.
Mm-hmm.
And right
mm-hmm.
now, it's looking like a daunting situation. I'm not saying that we cannot change what is happening in Black America, but obviously we're going to have to network a little bit more. You know, we're going to have to make sure that we put out this news, and I'm glad that you're doing this, Ms. Hines, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's why I tune into your show, just to find out
the latest
news, because I tell you, I don't get to hear this on television. It's not on the radio. It's not on mainstream radio and mainstream television. You know,
and
so I'm glad that you are putting out this news and letting us, everybody, know what's going on around this country, because it's just, the economy is horrible, I know, you know. But we're just going to have to find ways to generate income ourselves and not look to, I guess, the government or other entities to do what we can do for ourselves, you know, and that's my take.
And, you know, and Alberta is an entrepreneur. And, Alberta, what could someone like yourself bring to their community?
Well, you know, I can offer social media networking. That's what I can do. I can offer social media networking. I can alarm everybody on the web as to what is happening in, you know, your town. I can basically just put out a blog site about what is happening, and I can just basically I can maximize your online presence and letting everybody know what's going on around this country in your town or wherever. You know, so that's what I do. I offer social media services.
So, Mayor, could something like that help with what you all are trying to do?
It certainly will help with what we're trying.
I can build you a site. I can build you one, really. I can have you one up in 3 days from now, to be honest. You know, just provide me certain information. I can go online and find out some things myself about what's happening, you know, because this is my first time hearing. This is actually my first time hearing what is going on, you know, and I'm appalled by it. You know, I am. So
what we're going to do is I know a whole bunch of people who have businesses. What we're going to do is connect them with the mayor and the people of Glendora and see if we can't get you all some help with people who have skill sets that could help you all move forward towards the 21st century.
Uh-huh.
Does that work for you, Mayor?
That works perfect, the 21st century. We have, if you visit our website, GlendoraMS.com, you'll be able to find our vision for this community that has been thus far left behind, and a lot left behind because of the fact that we live in Tallahatchie County, Mississippi, and we are in the southernmost portion of Tallahatchie County. And we've been left at the southernmost portion, but out of Glendora can come the goodness with all the youthfulness that we have here.
I'm sorry.
Your website again is
GlendoraMS.com. Is that what it is?
Okay. GlendoraMS.com. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
I will give, and I think his number is on there, but reach out to him this week, Alberta, or next week, and see, because what I'd like to see come from this show is I'd like to see people who want to help reach out to the mayor in the coming weeks and see what you can do with your skill set to help Glendora. That's
okay.
What I'd like to see happen. I mean, we got to stop talking about it and be about it. If we really want to help, then let's help. Let's call the mayor and see what we can do to help.
Okay.
We like to ask that you help us help ourselves, and that include ensure that those young folks that are on the phone put some skin into the game themselves. And we've said that. I've said to them, if they want an acre of ground, let's show and put some skin into the game and make things happen that should be happening.
Alberta, let me know how that goes.
Yes, also, visit my website at www.newsolutionsocialmedia.com.
Can you repeat that one more time?
www.newsolutionsocialmedia.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Alberta.
You're welcome.
We're going to go to area code 314-381. Good evening. You're on center stage.
How you doing, Ms. Hines?
Fine. How are you?
You know, listening to the Glendora is an agricultural town. It has fertile ground, rich an idea for organic growing.
Is this
and
Mr. Pianki?
This is Pianki.
Blacks up north. Now, Pianki is another entrepreneur. Now, Pianki, what could you do to bring to the table something to help this town?
Well, I was in commercial construction, but what I'm saying is that their ability to grow organic foods in food spirit, then you can tap into those organic markets that's within Atlanta, Georgia, your Whole Foods and so forth, and say, we want 15% of your shelf. I mean, they are begging for organic produce.
Mm.
Jackson, Mississippi is 70% black.
Mm.
The food consumption that goes on there is not, I would doubt very seriously whether blacks are producing the food for that area.
Mm-hmm.
Fish farming, organic fish farming, and don't you guys grow rice down in that part of the Mississippi, sir?
Not around the Glendora area. The large farmers does in and around Glendora grow rice, but now the basic crop is pretty much soybean, corn for ethanol, and that's basically a little bit of cotton.
Yeah, so you know I talk about that all the time about all the potential. Economic potential that lies in especially the South, that black business people, and let me take people that gather black business people and say, hey, here's an opportunity. Here's a source, and here's a market. And you just need to take advantage of it.
Well, Bianca, let me ask this. If you were to mentor this group of young men from this area, what would you first begin to share with them?
Well, if I was talking to young men, I would lay down and put on a board and show a map, show a a continuous flow from that where he is to the finished product being dispersed in the areas where you are. For instance, like school lunches. I mean, the lunch programs that are going on in the public schools in some of the cities around there. Most of the time, those are foreign companies that's providing those lunches. That food should be produced locally and prepared by people that's in the neighborhood, working in the kitchens and so forth.
So you're saying it's a lot. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, I was just saying we are in the process of really transforming. Hopefully, we can receive a grant. If not, normally, whenever I apply for a grant and it doesn't come through, try to bring it through for me. Those are the type of blessings that we've been trying to and have been receiving around here. But we're transforming this Quonset Hut into a what we call a greenhouse where we grow vegetables year-round, as well as create a culinary school where we can begin to continue and train our young folks on the way life used to be with our canning process, with our culinary skills that we have in frozen foods and so forth. We're going to hopefully do that in the school, as well as create an area where we will make our own souvenirs for our tourism and hopefully every tourist shop around the country.
Okay. Can I ask you, did you have another?
So out of the groin, you got to have transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of the transportation, you got to have warehousing, possibility mm-hmm. processing. China buys soybeans as long as they're not GMO.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the growing of nuts like almonds, the growing of pecans. China buys every one that you can produce. If you was producing, if you had an indoor fish farm, mimicking what Claude Anderson has there in Maryland, he produces like 1 million pounds of tilapia fish, and China buys every last one of them. So it's it just takes some young black people, and also you need some business folks, some black business people that's established, that have a foresight for seeing that how they can expand and make things happen.
So he needs I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mayor.
No, I was about to say we need something like the Shark Tank, the TV show. We need some people and mentor us like that and take us on with the experience that we have. As the gentleman just said, we are a growing country. That's natural for us here to grow. We make things with our hands. That's natural here for us and for the young folks. And we have those mentors here, but we don't have the capacity to implement it.
How far is Glendale off the ocean? I mean, your town off the ocean?
Well, we're about 70 miles from the Mississippi River. That's close as we are to any water. And then, of course, the river comes right to my town.
Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is sit down and start thinking, Kerry.
But, you know, Piasky is one of the more intelligent listeners of Center Stage, and I know he's got a lot to bring to the table. So I'm going to petition him tonight to ask him to get with the city of Glendora and bring his skill set to the table as well.
Well, I can't. I'm already tied up. You know, I do a lot of stuff in West Africa.
Well,
I'm working here with children, training children to become baseball players. But,
well,
sit down here in South Africa before the apartheid, a while apartheid was at. So,
do you know Eddie Cartan with the Mississippi Family Farmers Association?
Mississippi Farmers Association?
Yes.
No, with Mississippi Growers, the Baptist Growers Association. In
Marks. And the Growers Association, what they do, they on behalf of the farmers, the black farmers there and other farmers, they find markets for their products. And, I mean, those are markets. produce that's being sold up north is coming. Some of it's coming out of Mexico. It don't have to come out of Mexico. It can come right out of Mississippi.
Hey, I serve on the prisoner, private prison authority here in Tallahassee County. We created in 1998. We have 2,672 inmates that we feed every day in a school district. Have we had capacity to be able to work the land that we own right now, out of that zone here, could be working if we had sufficient tractor, and we should be
able to had,
that project.
Yeah, that's another thing. Acquire implement farm implementation and lease it out to the farms for them to pay you and you know, a little small a return, and you would be helping them that way.
Mm. Okay, man, I'm going to get on Piansky, and I'm going to make sure that he does something with all this knowledge that he can share with the town of Glendora so that he can help as well.
There's another black organization that does organic fertilizer. You won't have to use chemical fertilizer on the crops that you will be selling to people like wholesale and so on. I can't think of the name of that organization.
So, Piansky, can I put you in contact with the mayor and you at least make a phone call down there and talk to him about this further?
Well, yeah, what I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to be talking to some people out of New York on a program tomorrow. If about the last 8 weeks, that's all they've been talking about is farm. So, you know, it may be just something that they want to get involved in.
Wonderful. So I'll pass on his information and you all will connect.
You just put it on my Facebook.
I will do it. Thank you, Piansky, for calling in tonight.
All right, then. Thank you very much. Good luck to you, Mayor.
Yes, sir. Thank you so kindly, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
We're going to go to area code 843-276. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Well, hello, Sugar Dumplings. It's me. How you doing?
How you feeling?
I'm all right. How's everyone else doing online?
Wonderful.
All right. Yeah, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm aspiring to be one a couple of years in the HR industry. But I just want, like, the last two callers kind of stole my thunder somewhat. And I'm going to have a problem with that, Carrie. You know that. I'm teasing. But, but you know, he brought some good points. But, like, out here in Phoenix, and it's area, like, especially the West Valley, like, with Surprise, Goodyear. I live in Surprise, so now I'm moving to Goodyear.
Wow.
Those roads, all you see is like farm.
No.
I'm just bringing up a.
I'm sorry.
I was saying I was going to bring up a good point with that. It's like, maybe think. It's like all this farmland out there. And
okay.
It's controlled by the Mexicans out there. And they always grow something, be like cabbage one couple months. Then it's carrots or potatoes or cotton or wheat. And I remember, and I thought about, like, that town Glendora, they talk about farming, I thought about it. There's a wheat shortage all over the world. There's
Ooh.
A worldwide wheat shortage.
Ooh.
And you got countries like in India, they fighting for bread, wheat. And that's a cash cow right there. And also, you got the networks also with the HBCUs in that state, the local schools like Priyanki was talking about. But also, I also wanted to throw this in. Also, with the trades and the skills, I also got to make sure to push education on young kids because, with that said, you got to have some lawyers, some financial planners, some accountants that look like us, that we can trust, and especially homegrown, and those people who may be able to, okay, could talk to those people, set up those deals, and plus could help out those HBCUs financially as well, and in turn, help us out, like as a people, that is. And it just ain't going to help that town as well. And I believe
let's go back to the phone line. I think most of these young men, if I remember the documentary correct, said that they didn't have GEDs even, that they were. Are y'all on the line, 662-375? Melody Hill? Yeah. Melody, most of y'all don't have GEDs, right?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so first of all, they have to start their T-SMINI with how are they going to even, they can't go to college until they get their GEDs, so how do you get GED programs in that area?
They have one in the area, like at Cahoma and Mississippi Valley State, but it's like because the no transportation, and myself, I have a son, and I have no transportation or no one to just watch him like this.
So we're talking about kind of manipulating the system so we can bring the system to y'all. I know the mayor said you have to have that's really what it's going to take.
That's right.
You have to manipulate the system a little bit so they can bring the program to y'all.
Or even like learning skills like the farming, they were saying, or like plumbing or cutting grass. Can I tell you what, like out here where I'm at, these pest kids, they charge me $65 because they just have to pull the weeds out in front yard. You know?
Everybody around here got a trade in doing something, a skill in doing something.
Exactly.
And we had a place where we can't put it to use.
Okay, you're the one that said there wasn't a daycare center there. You mean there's not one person that could decide, well, okay, I'm going to start the daycare center, so I'll keep everybody's kids, and then the other person says, well, I'm going to go get me a hair license so I can do everybody's hair. You see what I'm saying?
The people had ideas and thinking, but it's at a standstill. They thinking it, but they don't try to do it, and we can't move around. We can't. We got no transportation. That's
okay,
my excuse to hold us back for doing a lot of things, man.
So y'all say back. Everything goes back to transportation.
Transportation, and we had transportation. We could apply ourselves for a time, get a skill, you know, get our whole trade, you know, man.
Okay.
You just can't. You can do it, but you got to have your license to do it. You know.
And I understand that because I really don't think in 2013 young people are really interested in picking cotton. And you know, when I grew up when I spent my summers in Chula, Mississippi, and maybe y'all have heard of Chula. I used to spend most of my summers as a child in Chula, which is down somewhere near Greenwood and Yazoo. There. And anyway, all the kids there, basically, they pick cotton for their school clothes and to help out their families. That's just what they did. And I'm sure 2013, that ain't what y'all trying to do no more.
But now there's no picking cotton. They got machines to do all that, man. They got
okay,
all the white folks. And on top of that, they going to get who they want to work for, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say what?
They got their own, you know. My grandma been working for them. She and her wife on just give you an example. You know, like somebody been in their family been working. You know, their kids get a job or something. You know, they pass on down line to them like that.
You know what, and I want to say this, and I want to put this out there because I watched the documentary, and this is the one thing that I walked away with. I walked away with y'all were a very intelligent group that I heard, and y'all don't sound like nothing's wrong with y'all's brain. So I think that y'all need to sit down an hour or so every day and brainstorm on how y'all can get out of this rut, because I really do believe the answer is within y'all. Y'all know what y'all skills are. Y'all know how to do whatever you do because everybody's got a skill. God gave everybody a gift. And I think that if y'all really put y'all mind to it and figure that out, I think, you know, when we're going to try to get some help down there, because I know a lot of people who have a lot of ideas that can help y'all, but I think y'all got to figure out what y'all do best. So I think the mayor had an excellent idea about canning. I don't know if y'all are familiar with canning or whatever, but that is very popular right now. That is one thing that is really, really popular in white America and black America. And so I think if y'all are smart, somebody down there will get the idea to start canning some food and selling some canned items.
It'll be a good idea, but everybody won't have no job, man. It won't be that big. Everybody living off stamps, man. It really won't be no big job of doing that, because
population maybe 175.
All of them won't be a good job, you know. Some people ain't gonna get a job out of canning, you know. Some people
okay.
Some ain't got their trade into going out there selling. Some just don't want to do that.
Okay, somebody can sell, somebody can make phone calls to sell. I mean, you just see what I'm saying? The thing is, you cannot today, and I guess the world is changing so fast, where you can't get set, and I'm not trying to counsel y'all or anything because I'm not a counselor, but I'm just from somebody on the outside looking in. You cannot wait for nobody to come because what I see about the America we live in, the government ain't coming.
That's
really what I feel. They ain't coming no more. And y'all are intelligent. I listen to y'all. Y'all understand life. And y'all get it. I think the only thing y'all haven't done is really put y'all heads together and say, you know what, we can do this.
We can do anything, man. We can do anything.
Exactly. Believe that.
But how can we do it when it ain't no way? It ain't no support. No.
We
need to have
the GDs. We don't have this.
Okay, let's start here then. You say you need a helping hand. Tell America what it is that you need for them to do for you. Because here we are. You got a whole bunch of people listening. They want to know, okay, you got the mic. What do you need from us?
Man, okay.
See, this is what I'm afraid of. You got to be able to tell them what you need. You can't say I need help, but not be able to say what you need help with. Is that you all feel like you need some funding? The government has grants. So are you saying it's money that you need? Are you saying it's we need to get a GED program down there? Are you saying that we need to get somebody to bring a company down there so everybody can have a job? What is it exactly that you're saying that y'all need?
If we could get a GED going, I think that could start it right there. Because basically everyone either in the 30s, late in their early 30s needs.
Okay. If I had a group of people write the government right now and say, you know what, Glendora needs help and they need a GED program to get down there ASAP. How many people would we tell them needs a GED in Glendora?
You
mean half of Glendora, which has a population of 285, approximately 285 people, half of those people need a GED?
Half of them need a GED.
I think that's a point of crisis. Mayor, would you agree that half of your population needs a GED?
I would say it is pretty high. The last time I just took a survey in trying to pull together a list of individuals that need their driver's license, where you can get your GED when you get that. People that was license expired, individuals with not having the proper certificate, Social Security, all of those problems you have to solve before you can move into getting a GED, and they all cost money. They all cost transportation. And the list that I've pulled together was for those various ends was in the 40s. And the GED, I think that list had about 40 or so individuals on it. So you would put a high number.
Okay. So I guess I'm trying to understand. When you say you need a GED and you know that the paperwork that it takes to get it, are you saying that they need the funding to go get the paperwork so that they can apply for the GED?
Well, you know, you can't get to Greenwood to get an ID.
Okay.
Because it's about $20, 60 miles round trip. Order your birth certificate, which is about another $30, $40 or so
forth. So we need somebody to come out of Memphis and bring a bus, because I know some folks in Memphis. So we need somebody to bring a big old bus one weekday, pick up everybody that needs a GED and take them down to Greenwood. I'm sorry, not a GED, but need these documents to take them to the Greenwood so they can get these things done. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we can do that, and we have some transportation or bus and things to move around like that, but then that takes funding. And getting that done, it's up. But, yes, that could work organizing. Best done locally rather than bringing someone from Memphis to do it, which might be.
Y'all have have a bus. It's just a matter of paying for the trip and the gas.
To transportation, and then those items, an ID is about $15 to $20 or something. Your birth certificate is another one. So you're talking about $100 or so that DeMarco can't come with, Melody can't come with, or any of the others that's on the phone can't come with it, and the entire community. Nobody could be made ready tomorrow if you brought in a job.
Okay, that's the problem, is that you got to get the paperwork in order to apply for the GED, and then you need the GED program. All this would have to, and then you need the money. So you would need all that to happen before anybody is really employable.
That's right. You have a significant step before you can even become a GED ready. DeMarco would ask him if he would be ready now with his ID and everything else. He probably wouldn't be, but he might be. But those are the problems that we find.
Okay. So let me understand. So somebody needs to cut a check in the amount of what in order to make this happen? Do we even have a number on that? Anybody got a number? Well, you know what, and I'll do the math. Let's just skip that. I'll do the math. So we're saying that nothing can move forward until you all get the necessary documents in order to apply for the GED. So nothing's going to happen until then.
But those things happen, and we have the capacity to teach the GED, provide the GED here, and we probably have the good volunteers of some kind to do it. Or we might be able to bring teachers from the school system to help do it, but you have to be made ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go take a GED. You got to have all of these things in place. You got to pay for your those kind of things.
Okay. Back on the line. Pianki, did you have more suggestions for Glendora? 314-381,
Pianki. Yeah, I was thinking more about that agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could get all the assistance that you need from places like Alcorn State University, which is the Black Agriculture School, college, should I say, and also from Tupelo, which is there. Tupelo's there. How far are you from Tupelo, sir?
Tupelo, let's see.
You're about 100 miles or so, aren't you?
You would say yes, about 100 miles. Most
yeah, so, Carrie, places like that, you could just go as a person that was inspiring to take advantage of the farmland there that's in Glendora, they would just go to one of those two places and sit down and talk to the department, and they would recommend to you what the land could be best utilized. They can identify the market and get you going. That's what they're for. It's just like a farm extension. Farm extensions are provided for by the government, and they're designed to help farmers to make the right decisions, help them with problems that they have, so on.
Well, now, we have Alcorn here. Again, we would talk about the equipment. Alcorn, they won't provide the equipment. In some instances, they help some areas, but that would be our largest thing. We have about 30 or so acres of land that should be running, which could be easily $300,000 to $400,000 a year with 30 acres of land. And if we were to take advantage of the crops that we grow here, which would be significant in this community, but having the equipment. Someone could check for the equipment, a nice disc, and we have some equipment ourselves that could be upgraded. We could instantly take off and grow foods and put stuff on.
All right, Carrie, I finished listening.
Okay, thank you, Bianchi. You know, the thing is, Mayor, it seems like you all know what to do. I guess my question is, why hasn't it been done till before now?
Well, it's the capacity, physical capacity, the having the equipment to make it work, getting individuals ready for with the transportation and driver's license that's suspended because of lack of child support because nobody's working. All of those impediments that's there as stepping stones that we've got to overcome before we can move into these capacities, getting people's minds ready to do those things that we're talking about. That takes quite a bit of training.
Well, man, let me ask you something. Because, you know, one thing a lot of people are probably going to wonder is how did a town get to a point where so many people don't have GEDs? What happened? I mean, how do you have such a high dropout rate?
Well, if you come back through the school system, and I guess our way of life in the Mississippi Delta, actually I didn't go to school but a minute, because mm-hmm. I only could half a day, certain days, because of cotton picking and chopping, I didn't get it. And I don't know if that spirit ran off onto our children that are
mm-hmm.
now. I don't have the wherewithal to force them to get what I didn't get, or somehow
mm-hmm.
it's just like what mine was, and they don't care. And we stay in this rut. And that's the hurdle that we've got to overcome. Those type
mm-hmm.
of things,
mm-hmm.
which is not, they're not easy to overcome. You're talking about several decades of 100 years of away.
So to the young people that's on the line, Melody, Von Erich, Marco, you know, the Bible says, and I'm just going to go scripture for a minute, y'all, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. What are y'all doing to keep yourself from being into things that maybe you shouldn't be in? Seeing that there's no jobs, nobody's working really, money is tight. How are y'all managing to stay out of trouble?
Majority of us just sit around and use marijuana and marijuana is the biggest use.
Now, see, someone would say, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, someone's, and I can imagine how many minds are thinking this way, if you don't have any money, how do you have money for marijuana?
They find a way to get it.
See, and I'm just being honest. I know the audience, and they're probably going, oh, but they got money for marijuana, but they don't have money to go get the birth certificate or the driver's license.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm just keeping it real with y'all. I just know how they think. And so I'm just... But you know, I think at some point, though, and I think I got it, like I said earlier, with this last presidential election, it's turning into a cold world out there, and nobody cares about anybody. And I think...
It's like everybody for themselves.
And so I really question, you know, with our country saying that it's bankrupt or about to go bankrupt, how long there will be a system in place to help people that don't have jobs. Well, that said, what will y'all do if tomorrow they don't have any checks coming?
I guess it would be a war around here.
Exactly. So before it becomes a war, I think I'd like to see, because I really find y'all to be really intelligent, and I just know that if y'all took an hour a day and treated it like a think tank hour where y'all came together and said, you know what, we can do this. I mean, nothing is better than a made-up mind. And I really do believe that y'all have the capacity to put something together. The mayor said that he was putting something together for y'all to make souvenirs for your town. Has anybody figured out what it would take to make that happen? Mr. Mayor? Well, the mayor said that he was thinking about putting something together so that y'all could make souvenirs for your town. Mr. Mayor, have y'all come up with when and how that's going to happen?
Of course. Well, you know, we are a historic community. We have quite a few tourists that come through our community. Mm-hmm. Basically, we are an international community dealing with the murder of Emmett Till, which from this community, the African Americans was made to become what they now call an accomplice. There was the individuals that actually did the murder. One of them was from here. So we're an international community. We have quite a few people coming through, and we think that made in the Mississippi Delta artifacts that we're hoping to make that happened to deal with the Till case, the ring we want to make, teacups, T-shirts, paperweights, all of those types of things that we want to make out of our craft shop, along with that displays the history of the immature. Those are the things that we want to place in every gift shop around the country, out of the country as well.
Well, let me ask you this. If we found a pottery maker who was willing to come to Glendora and teach these young people how to make pottery, let's just say, and they were able to take that and sell it, is there some place in Glendora that they could have as a building to sell these types of things? Or anybody who had a business that they could come down and teach these young people how to manufacture that product, is there a place in Glendora where they could set up to sell it?
Well, of course, but our effort would be to sell it when we make it in gift shops throughout the country and on our website and those places. That's the way we intend to work with it. But, yes, we do have this in Glendora. We don't have a grocery store or anything, so we need a lot of things to happen. Actually, most of the individuals around here receive some form of a government assistance through food stamps or what have you. But they then take all of the proceeds from that, which is probably $100,000 or $200,000 within a 3 or 4 mile radius. It comes into this community, but it goes out because we don't have the capacity to collect it. For instance, a farmer's market or a food market or some kind that should be owned by participation.
So if someone has the means to set up a grocery store, you think that Glendora is an excellent spot?
Glendora is an excellent spot. Any in the county would be an excellent spot. We're trying to operate with that. If we were to set up a store here, a transportation system that would actually.
Let me ask you something, Mayor. Because to separate politics from the individuals, how can let's just say this group of people that's on the line tonight, how is it that they can create something for them that's all about them, that's not maybe owned by the city, but just for them being self-sufficient and taking care of themselves? What can happen with that? Because, a lot of times people are fearful that the politics gets in it and then the people don't get their part. So is there not a way that they can create something for just them that's separate and aside from the politics of everything, where the city isn't technically involved? It's just them working for themselves to create something for themselves.
that is one of the things that we're talking about as far as the small farm. We let them lease an acre of land, and they have an acre of land for a year to grow whatever they want.
Hey, let me ask you this. When can that happen? Because you know what? I guarantee you, if you give them an acre of land, I can find somebody that will give them some seeds. So when are you talking about giving each of them an acre of land? I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
I said my nonprofit organization can lease an acre of land.
Oh, then oh, you're not giving it to them, you're leasing it to them.
Right.
Okay. And so, okay, how much is the lease?
$100.
Okay, so $100 for what period of time?
And this is for hours, for that guy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, so $100 for a year?
Yeah.
Heck, I might have to come down there and lease that. Okay, so you're telling me, or does this just apply to the citizens of your town, or anybody can lease this for $100?
This is what I'm trying to do to create small businesses with and utilize them.
Okay, so if I got people, y'all on the line, listen, and if you're willing to help, get on the phone lines. So if I got a group of people who were willing to help all of these people on the line, get them their own acre and get them some seed, how quickly can we make this happen?
That comes with the equipment. You see, that's what we're saying. There's no equipment to turn the land, to cultivate the land, to make it ready for seeds. And that's what we thought. If we could get one piece of equipment, nice disc, we could keep this land ready for those individuals year-round. And they can
grow. Well, maybe we can rent the equipment, or maybe figure out a way that they can raise the money to rent the equipment. But how soon will they be able to lease the land?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Right now.
This goes in archives, so that means it's not going to be erased. So tomorrow, if they were able to come up with their $100 and we were able to get them some seed, they would be able to start farming immediately.
They will become, I will draw a lease up, and they will become and small farmers tomorrow.
DeMarco, Melanie, Von Eric, is that something y'all willing to do?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I really ain't lying. I ain't really got no money.
Okay. I like your spirit, but what we said, if we were able to come up with your $100 for your lease and get somebody to donate you some seed, are y'all prepared to start working on your own acres down there and produce something?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then that sounds like a plan that we need to start moving toward. I mean, because the thing is, we can talk about doing it forever. I mean, really, literally, we can talk about doing it forever, but it's time to implement it if we're going to take them from a situation of being in the same state from 2009 to 2013, another 4 years, if they don't start moving now. So it sounds like what we need to do is talk to some people about getting y'all some seed and donating the money to pay the mayor for these leases. And I'm understanding, again, Mayor, you said this lease will be $100 for 1 year.
Okay.
And so what kind of crops grow best down in this area? I think somebody, what was that? I forgot who said that what crop grew best down there. But I'm sure most vegetables grow well down there, like collard greens and cabbages and things like that, correct?
Yeah, ma'am.
So any of the vegetables.
Any of the
vegetables. 3 crops.
That sounds like a plan. I'm sorry?
No, I don't listen, man. Go ahead.
I think it sounds like y'all need to get y'all almanac between all of y'all, figure out what y'all need to grow and when and get started, because I think literally, and I'm not a gardener, you can grow something year-round.
Yeah, man, we trying to start right now, soon as possible, man.
trying to start right now. So y'all need Mayor, you mean there's not a tractor in town that can go and help them turn this land over?
Well, there's probably some tractors around, but their mines is broken down. So I had a small one, but it's not in operation. I have also a small disc that needs some repair on that could also, and a hippo that could set the roads, do all of those things, but my equipment is broken down right now.
So, if you were able to get your equipment up and running and they were able to pay you for your lease and they were able to get some seed, it sounds like they could basically be in business for themselves in 30 days, if not sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody in agreement on that?
Ma'am.
Now, y'all, the world is listening. Don't y'all get on the show and tell these people y'all ready to go to work and then not be ready to go to work, because that would not go well.
I've been ready to work since day one.
I mean, because technically, you know, then there's no more excuses.
No, ma'am.
I mean, and I'm not saying that what y'all were saying was not legitimate, but what I'm saying is there won't be an excuse not to make some money if all of this is put in place, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So they say, okay. I'm sorry, Mayor?
Yeah, one thing in the web, you just a group like that with 3 acres of land.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
One person running an acre of land. Say Melody decides she wants to grow okra.
Okay.
Hard for Melissa just to keep up with okra. So we're talking about creating small cooperatives. If they were to create small cooperatives and say, I'm going to grow cucumbers and peas, we could have this market of cucumbers open with the school system, with the and just everyday.
Hey, man, you're going to have to
reach the farmer's market.
Okay, you were breaking up again. Say that one more time. If they were going to grow, I heard cucumbers, peas, and something. What?
I was saying that they would. I would love to see you ask how could they make an economic situation work. I would love to see that group that you're talking to there create a small cooperative to take advantage of their acres.
You know what? We're gonna make it happen. I mean, seriously. You know why? Because. From what you just described to me, if somebody else was listening on the line, call in and tell me if you agree with me. But what he just described as needing to happen is totally doable. I think Alberta is still on the line. Let's go back to Alberta. Alberta, do you agree that it's totally doable, what they just described? I'm trying to open her phone line.
I think it is doable, to be honest. I think certain people need to change their mindsets a little, you know, like, and stop saying what they cannot do, because I lost my job like 2 months ago, and look at me now. I started my own social media networking company, you know, and I'm making it happen. You know, yeah. I'm making it happen right now. I'm creating streams of income for myself. You know,
mm-hmm.
So if I can do it, if I can pull myself up, you know, it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to really focus
mm-hmm.
and put together a portfolio and really figure out your niche, what you are good at,
mm-hmm.
and do it. Do it.
Okay, did y'all hear what Alberta
said? Let me build your online presence for you. Let me do that.
You know what? And that may be something. You know what? Now, if Alberta has the ability to build you all a website, and y'all said we got vegetables, and y'all can ship vegetables out there to wherever or however, it can get done, maybe that's a way that y'all don't have to worry about standing. And I still don't see anything wrong with standing on the corner with a vegetable stand. But if that's not the way you want to do it, if she creates a website and tells people that y'all growing vegetables down there, organic vegetables, that's a niche.
Yes,
somebody may be interested in your organic vegetables, you know, grown in Glendora, Mississippi.
Yes,
I don't know, but I think what has to happen tonight is y'all got to decide that you want to get moving. That's really what I believe has to happen. You have to decide that you're ready to get moving, and as soon as what's needed to put this together hits the ground, y'all need to hit the ground running too. Everybody in agreement with that?
If we could look at for those small entities like that, what I would think that they would need up is a leg up, and that is to put in place a mechanism that could be managed as a farm would be managed, and increase 20 hours a week making this farm work, and you have in your budget to pay yourself these 20 hours to make this work. And just like the federal government do the cotton, ready the cotton money's in their hand, they have a budget that they can work 80 hours on their farm a week to make it work like it's supposed to. I'm saying with these young folk with the acre of land, if we're going to put a budget together for them, they need in place a budget that must be managed, and we have a big brother over them looking at their budget and ensuring that they put their 20 hours in to making the cucumbers perfect or the okra perfect or the greens perfect each year round, and their salary is already built in, but they have to earn it by making these projects work.
So treating it basically like a Habitat for Humanity program, you got to put your sweat equity in.
Well, I was talking about sweat equity, but I was saying to give them a budget and to, at the same time, while they're farming, they're also being trained in management of a business, of a budget, and making things work, which they have not.
How can you give them a budget when they're starting at zero? I mean, they haven't made anything yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what, if I were to go to farming and went to Farm Service Agency with me 100 acres of land, I would ask them for a budget of X number of dollars, including 160 hours a month worth of salaries that I can work to make sure that this cotton turn out the way it's supposed to. What I meant about that is there should be a budget on this acre of land. If we're going to Oak will tell you it needs 150 hours worth of work. And that should be included in a budget to ensure that that 150 hours take place so that the right amount of water get there, so that the grass is removed right, and so that the crop put out exactly what it's supposed to put out. That is what I mean by the budget. And that is what's happening with the big farmers and the welfare that they receive. They already paid.
Let me ask you several questions because we're about to run out of time, and we're going to go to this one of these colleges in just a second. One thing I have to ask is I know that the government has issues with farmers, and you know, so if you're having a small farm, the government is not going to have a problem with them having small farms, is it? Because there's all kind of technical things we're reading in the mail. I mean, in the news about farmers were shut down for this reason or that reason. Are y'all having any of those issues down in the Delta?
There's no such issue here. And, of course, actually the government here in Mississippi State and all those other places are encouraging small farmers to do just what we're doing here, because the wick houses and so forth are now coming to fresh vegetables and fruits and nuts and all of those things that can be purchased from these small farmers and so forth.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Okay, this number is a block number, so I'm just going to go to you. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Hey, good evening. I just came across your show, and it's so important for our future for people to help people helping people. We can't rely on the governments anymore, and what we have to do is reverse what's happening. The governments are just taking over everything. It's the whole country has been hijacked by corporate elites behind the scenes. Global corporate elites, we got to start reversing all that. You have a social media person that is on the show that I heard. I would like to interact with her. I don't have the resources, but I have ways to empower this social media person and really get this story out, too, globally, so that we can really show the needs of these people. And
okay.
they're not asking for a handout. They're asking for a hand up, and that's what we should be focused on.
Okay, okay.
So what I'd like to do is share my name because my number is a cell phone number. That's why it's showing up the way it is. But
mm-hmm.
There's information on the Internet, and I'll even give my phone number so the social media person can call me.
Can you email me? Don't give your phone number over the air, I don't mind giving you my email. I don't mind.
I don't use email. That's why there's a reason for it, but I have no problem giving my number out because people in a fool with me have died. I didn't ask for that, but
goodness.
You're on a divine mission. So
yes.
my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry. I had to get my book. Hold on for a minute.
Okay.
Let me see.
You can call me right after the show closes if you like. I'm up for a while.
Hugh, H-U-G-H.
That's correct. The last name is Trauls, and that's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone number is area code 804-798-1139.
1139, okay.
That's correct. And the people listening, they can Google my name. You'll even see a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy. I want to bring this whole town to his attention, too.
Okay, all right.
So you call me after the show, and God bless everyone. We'll get there. It's we're all spiritual beings, and we have to help each other. It's time to stop the control.
I can write the president myself tonight. You know, I stay up late. I'll be working late. I can write them myself tonight.
I think we absolutely all should write the president. If you're listening, all of y'all, write our president and say, listen, Glendora needs help today, not tomorrow, today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all can do that. Don't you think we all should pitch in to do that, at least to say, look, at least take a look at Glendora?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Congressional Black Caucus in Mississippi last night, tonight, and tomorrow. Certainly, if you may reach out to them.
Okay.
Okay.
We
need to reach
Congressional Black Caucus.
Okay.
Yeah, Mississippi.
Okay.
I got it.
National Black Caucus.
Oh, national. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mayor, we're down to our last 7 minutes. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
Well, we are. Yes. Thank you so much, Gary, for utilizing our community to tell this story. We are a historic community created in 1900 the Las Vegas or the plantation. But what we are about today is, and Antoinette, we appreciate everything you've done and how you've spotlighted us, and we see that we have quite a few hits on the community here. And what we're trying to do now is to create an economic and community difference. And that is by recreating our community civic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost all of that. Our young folks now have moved toward what we call instant gratification and right nowish. And, of course, we're saying that civically we need to look back at what it took to build to something and to build sustainability. And that's our best effort here. We are a 1982 nonprofit corporation with a 501c3 that was established in 1996 to present. And of course, the town of Glendora is nonprofit as well. So any assistance that you bring to this community that actually was left to pretty much just really turn back to the cotton fields. And that didn't happen. So we feel that now there's a chance to make a difference.
We actually in this community have a lawsuit against the private prisons located here in this community that have taken from this community $20+ million over and above what
wow.
it takes, according to the SEC records that they submitted. $44.16 they're taking $20.84, which equal to about $20 million per year. That was supposed to have been created to change the economic plight of this very impoverished county, and especially my community of Glendora. The young
and that's
folks,
the prison CCA, right?
That's the prison CCA that we filed a $126 million lawsuit that, for the reasons of them taken out of this community and leaving nothing in.
And y'all, I suggest everybody write the administration of CCA and let them know how wrong it was for a private prison to go into a community like this and make promises going in and not uphold any of those promises once they got in there and actually just took from the community. So, you know, anybody who's got a pen and paper and want to write somebody tonight, write CCA along with the president and tell them, you know, that what CCA did to the community of Glendora is just shameful, to put it mildly. All right, is there anything else you want to add, Mayor, before we close out tonight?
Well, if they would go to the Mississippi link, www.mississippilink, and click on the 8th through the 14th archives, then you will find a news release in there. Talking about our plight here and how it might change. And certainly we feel that it would change tonight with your new renewal of assistance to our community here after we all lost that and the young folks almost not made it. And I'm glad and proud made it. And hopefully we can pull all of this together and after that, really turn into a cotton-picking situation.
I got that right there. Okay, listen, and, you know, another thing I promised the mayor, and now I'm going to go back on what I said I wasn't going to do it. I am going to do it. I think that this community, per the mayor, needs about 50 computers for these kids because you, myself, and everybody else knows that if you're going to keep up in the 21st century, you need a computer. And the mayor says this community needs about 50 computers. So we're going to write a nice letter to some people who manufacture computers. We're going to see if they can't, you know, send some computers down to this community. So that's one thing I'm going to take on myself. I'm going to see if that can happen, along with trying to get somebody to donate some seeds so that these young people can get to work because that's what they say they want to do. Okay, that's going to have to be the final word, y'all. I'm sorry.
Can I throw out a shout out to Calvary Baptist Church, who've been in our community since June with a health fair as well as a construction group to help us to afford houses here in the community, as well as a vacation Bible school and a summer academy that they provide us for the past 3 years. Calvary Baptist Church, and that mission is headed up from Calvary Baptist Church by Dr. Mildred Clark, who is an OBGYN MD from New York City, and her crew who have provided us countless services all the way from New York City. And we're just wonderful to and appreciate their help coming out of New York City. And now we will create the partners around the country that we need.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we'd like to say thank you to our guest tonight, Mayor Johnny Thomas, Antoinette Howell, Melody Hill, DeMarco Wallace, and Von Eric Hill.
And please
thank
visit
so tonight.
Please, Eric, can you have them to please visit the Emmett Till Museum?
Yes. The mayor says come down and come down and visit Glendora and visit the Emmett Till Museum. Also, y'all, we want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Also, y'all, a reminder, we're here each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, and this is what we do. We bring you stories straight out of the news, letting you know what's going on across the country. Again, thank you to my guests tonight. Thank you, the audience, for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.